Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Don't feel bad about answering honestly here, but how much Utah Hockey Club did you watch last year?
Honestly, the game... No, I barely watched that game. No, I watched it. I was in a orthopedic, Excelsior Orthopedics, one of the sponsors of this. Waiting room.
The game here?
The Utah game here. It was on TV. I watched that.
Like a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, on a Saturday afternoon while my dad was getting his dislocated wrist reset.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I did, so I did see it.
Not a lot else?
No, didn't they play... I feel like we were together. No, that was a Seattle game. I watched the game out there, too, when the Sabres played them. But that's it, the two times the Sabres played them.
How did we do? I don't know.
I don't remember. Oh, I know they got beat pretty badly here.
Yes.
Because that was the day after the Palm Trees news conference. Utah, 4-1, 5-1, something.
6-1.
Like 6-1, I don't know. It was bad.
Utah Hockey Club... color vibes here today at the 11-day power play. This is their get up
in honor of this trade. They
must have known. Yes. Joe Yurden is with us on the Western Hotline from Bleacher Report. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
We are doing well. We did get filled in on the first of the two acquisitions speaking earlier with the Sabres. I imagine you got to listen to the second one. We haven't heard any updates on that. Anything curious from Josh Doan this afternoon, Joe?
Well, it was. I've had a lot of moments through my career, you know, which is very weird to say in the first place. But I've had a lot of moments in my career where you talk to like the sons of players that you watched. This might be the first time where. We're in an interview with the son of a player that like I've written stories about and covered and talked to numerous times. And the first thing, you know, he gets asked about his father, Shane Doan, you know, longtime Coyotes, you know, face of the Coyotes, you know, guy.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, my dad's a big nerd about hockey. He's up on all the stats. And, you know, I'm next in line to ask a question, and I had like that deja vu moment of, I remember having this exact conversation with Shane here in Buffalo a few years ago, where Shane was saying the exact same things about Josh and about what a nerd he is, you know, big on fantasy hockey, all this stuff. I'm like,
right.
And I'm just sitting there, and like, if people had like the whole, you know, the whole panel of everybody that's on this Zoom call there, they would have seen me just like laughing to myself and also dying inside at hearing
right.
this, because holy cow, man, like it's stunning. But great guy, Michael Kesselring couldn't have said enough nice things about him. Great for the room, the whole thing. So there's reasons to feel upbeat after hearing from these guys. If you're a fan, I mean, I'm obviously not a fan, I'm in this for the stories, but like, you listen to these guys talk, and they're excited. Like, they want to, you know, the line's gotten tired, but they want to be here. They want to be part of the solution, the whole thing. So, like, it's encouraging. It's good. And I think they're both good players. It's just, you know, it's the trade. I think there just needed to be more.
Right. Yeah, they gave up the best player in the deal. Buffalo did. Joe, how much do you know about what unraveled for Paterka here? Like, why did we end up in a place where, at least the way I'm perceiving it, is that, you know, it's being widely said he didn't want to be here. Is there any chance that the Sabres thought we need to change our mix? He's an RFA. We got a decision to make about committing long term, and maybe there are things that not there definitely are things to not like about his game. Still, though, he is the best player in the trade. What do you know about what happened with Paterka?
Well, you know, this is such a small place that you hear things all the time, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that you hear about. But the one thing that always stuck with me about JJ was that he was a big favorite of everybody in the organization, you know, top down, ownership down. Like, they loved him, and, you know, they loved the talent. It was a massive pride point for Kevin Adams, you know, drafting him in the second round. And, you know, even at the time when they drafted him, it was like, hey, these guys, this is a great pick. You know, I think they got a guy. And, you know, and it was one of those picks that when it was made, everybody's like, hey, I think they got a winner here. Like, this is really good for Buffalo. And it was. It's a great pick, and it's a moment where everybody, you know, scouting, Kevin Adams, everybody can be like, yeah, we nailed it. We got the right guy. We made the right pick. We got this down. And those are guys you don't want to let go of. Those are guys you know, obviously it's a pride point. So you're just like, hey, it's the guy we scouted, we found, we drafted him. Let's keep him. And something changed. You know, whether it's, you know, the lack of success, whether it's, you know, it's playing, you know, how dealing with, you know, how hard Lindy can be on guys and, or, you know, being asked to defend a little bit better, you know, all these kinds of things where, you know, it kind of takes away the fun of playing hockey, which, you know, I guess that's a maturity thing at that point. But when those things kind of pile up and, you know, a guy reaches this point of his career where it's, you know, hey, you know, it's time to sign a long-term deal, that, you know, RFAs are starting to understand that they've got a little bit more leverage than in the past guys used to think they have. And this was a point for JJ to kind of draw a line and say, hey, listen, this ain't working here for me. Like, this might be time to go. And, you know, I don't think Buffalo wanted to let him go. I don't think that's a guy they had any designs on trading. But, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, if a guy's, you know, the magic words are, I don't want to be here anymore, then, you know, so be it. But that's not a trade that Buffalo makes lightly. And I know the return doesn't get anybody overly excited. I mean, you know, listen, Kesselring's going to be really good. He's going to be a very good player for them. He's going to help outpower the whole thing. But when you're thinking, you know, and the thing breaks late last night and you start thinking like, oh, maybe they're getting the number four pick. Maybe, you know, maybe there's something else going on here. Maybe, you know, your imagination starts to run wild, and then it's, you know, it's a couple of guys for a guy, and you're like, wait a minute. This is not what we were expecting. So I don't know if it's a case where, you know, everybody gets a little bit too excited about what's happening, and then, you know, the reality of everything kind of lets it down. But like, when you write it all down on paper, it just does not look, the look does not look good for Buffalo, right? Even though it might work in the end. It's kind of like the Savoy-McLeod deal last year where Adams got crushed for it, and yeah, I think a lot of us knew it made sense, but, you know, the wider picture was just like, boy, that's an ugly one. That'll look bad in years, but, you know, so far so good.
With Joe Yurdin, I mean, it's Utah. Maybe if Bulldog only watched two games of theirs, you know, a lot of us didn't see any. And so they're not going to be household names. But that also means that, like, it's not a team where you're winning a lot. It's not Edmonton, for example, where trading these players to the Sabres might be really tough on the players. I can believe it. This could always be true, but I could believe it if these guys on Utah can find some, you know, positives in coming here.
Yeah, and for Michael Kesselring, you know, he made it very clear he's an East Coast guy. And he's played out west his whole career. You know, he used to be in the Oilers system, played in Bakersfield, California, in the AHL. Then he's, you know, he ends up in Arizona. He's playing in Tucson. He's playing in Tempe. And then it's, you know, you're in Salt Lake City. And that's a long way from home. you know, that's not getting to see the family a lot, and you know, he's not making a ton of money, so it's spending a lot of money to get maybe to get the folks out there and get them tickets and whatever. But it's exciting for them because now it's like, oh, hey, cool, you know, family can come and watch way more often. We'll go to, you know, we're going to go to Boston like twice a year because, you know, he's a Boston area guy. He played at Northeastern with Devin Levi. So it's exciting for him and for, you know, for Josh Doan. I mean, he's the Western guy, you know, played at Arizona State, you know, grew up around the Coyotes locker room his whole life. And, you know, gets drafted by them, the whole, you know, the very honestly cool sweetheart story. But, you know, the old man's been working for the Leafs now for the last couple of years, and that's we know how close Toronto is, so that's kind of a nice thing. But, you know, it's a situation that offers them a huge opportunity as well. And, you know, that's, you know, it comes down to playing time and opportunity and stuff like that. So that's what gets guys excited. I mean, I think leaving Utah now is maybe a little tough because Utah was cooking last year. They've got something good going there, and I, you know, them trading for Paterka makes a ton of sense. I totally get it. And obviously the view on Buffalo right now is really down. So it would be easy to be really, you know, upset, I don't know, disappointed, whatever. But for these guys, like this is a chance to show out, and this is a chance to play big minutes. And listen, this is stuff we used to say about the Bills in the past. But if you can get the Sabres to the playoffs, after all this, you're a legend. Never mind winning a cup right now; it's just get to the playoffs.
Right.
The one thing that Marc-Andre Grignani got wrong was the timing. You know, they'd been to the playoffs. If he'd come along 15 years later, he could have been a hero.
I certainly, like anyone, can understand being underwhelmed on paper with what the return looks like. And faith is in short supply. The benefit of the doubt barely exists, if it exists at all, when it comes to this management team with the Sabres. But if there is another move coming to replace some or all or even add to what Paterka was offering you offensively, I like the roles that are set here for these players. They've been looking for a partner for power since he got here. It's patently absurd, in my opinion, that it's taken three seasons, but here we are. That I'm optimistic about that. And I think Doan is the kind of player that the league is sort of trending toward, a bigger 200-foot player, and, you know, forecheck and all that. The Sabres are not long in that type of guy. And I don't know where his upside ends up. I know he's got an above-average shot, which is helpful. So I like where they slot in, provided, you know, they spend the money they're saving on not paying Paterka, which, again, is saying a lot. So you got to...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Really twist yourself up a bit, but I assume there's a Byram trade coming, and that in some way, shape, or form, he contributes to them finding their way to the top six forward that they've needed for, well, I mean, they definitely needed another one last year, and they never got it, but I think provided there's another move, I like this trade as it stands sitting here today, as long as they supplement.
Yeah, I had to write the winners and losers piece very early this morning for Bleacher Report on the trade, and it's almost like you want to give an incomplete grade for the Sabres because you're like, well, this is one trade. There's at least one more coming, assuming. You know, I think we've been assuming since, you know, pretty much since the season ended, maybe even before the trade deadline, that Bo Byram's probably going somewhere else, just because, you know, the fit's not quite right, and, you know, the money's going to be an issue because, you know, do you pay three defensemen a ton of money? Like, it's, you know, the whole thing. But but the pressure's on now. Like, you can't not trade Bo, even though keeping him's fine, I guess. But, like, you can't, if you're thinking you're trading him, you got to cash in. Like, you have to get you have to get that top six forward. You have there is no escape from that now. It has to be right. done. And now there's kind of an artificial bar set because, you know, and Michael Russo, The Athletic, wrote that the Wild offered Marco Rossi for Paterka, and the Sabres were very adamant about getting a right-hand shot defenseman, which you can get mad about it, but like they needed it. It's just, you know, maybe that's not the guy you had in mind, but getting laser focused on that, maybe, you know, I don't know, like whatever. If it turns out that Byram Lansom, a guy that nobody has even at the front of their mind for a trade, that turns out to be like I get it now kind of deal. Great. That's perfect. And then the I'm sorry's can come out and be written, and I'll be the first guy up front to be like, hey, my bad. Nope. That's a win, you know, but you have to win, but you gotta
do it.
You know, it can't be a guy who, you know, where you're like, I don't know, second, third liner, maybe, I don't know, like a tweener. Like, it can't be that, you know, or unless it's a guy that's got like the super high upside who just got buried on a really good team, then all right, fine. But like, we're putting too many qualifiers out there as it is when there's already 1,000 of them in place in case they don't add a top six forward.
You know, on that Marco Rossi point, Michael Russo is a known name. He's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. But if he's reporting a specific offer involving the name of a player, that guy's getting moved.
Like, oh, yeah.
They're not leaking. You know, they're not answering his call with like, yeah, this is the player we offered Buffalo. Unless, right. Like, he's not coming back.
No, here's an 8-year contract.
Right? Yeah, no, yeah, right.
That probably doesn't work.
He's not coming back.
Right.
So maybe he'll be moved somewhere, I would think. And I don't know. Do the Sabres have to be not in the conversation when it comes to him because of whatever Byram would represent to Minnesota? I haven't thought that through, but I feel like he'll probably get traded.
I think if it was like maybe, you know, I mean, obviously the timelines don't work out, but if this was before they drafted Zeev Bouyam and found their soon-to-be like number one puck-moving defenseman, and considering they've already got Brock Faber on the right side, then maybe you could say, like, hey, Bo Byram, hey, I bought it. Like, you guys want to get rid of Rossi. You're not happy with him. Like, we'll take him. But I think the role that Bo is looking for probably isn't there for him in Minnesota. And I think Rossi would drive some of the fan base crazy because he's not a huge guy. He's strong. He's strong as an ox, but he's not big. But, boy, he can score. He can skate. The whole thing. Like, that's why... Oh, myself included, were like, boy, they got to run to the podium and draft this guy when they drafted Quinn. And I was like, oh, whoops. Okay, well, all right, that's fine. That's a good pick still, but, you know,
yeah.
Rossi was the other guy in that team that was like, man, he's incredible. And they drafted the other guy from that junior team. But that's not to say that the Buffalo can't be in that discussion, but I think that trade would be a lot different, and I don't know, maybe the fit isn't right, you know?
I feel without just because he's small, painting with too broad a brush, but I said earlier, I feel like Rossi is repetitive of what they already have in their system. I mean, he's an NHL player already with 60 points last year, I recognize, but if you want to make your team over to be bigger and harder to play against, I don't really think Marco Rossi in your top six is getting that done. And I also think he might be a little bit, I don't know, he wants to go somewhere reportedly where he can be a number one center. And I don't know if that's, I mean, he might be a really nice number two, but I don't know about number one center for him, myself. So
yeah.
I didn't mind that they passed on that. But again, it's with the caveat that the other move happens. Because if it doesn't, then it's going to look really bad that they didn't jump at a guy like him, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, the number one center thing is so interesting because of, you know, Tage had so much success on the wing last year, and you're like, oh, well, is he going to stay there? And it sure seems like that's going to be the case. And, you know, Kulik up the middle, you're like, okay, well, he's really good. Is he a number one center? You know, I think because a lot of us were assuming that he was going to be a winger, given his shot and, you know, the way that he played the game, but, you know, now he's pretty, seems to be pretty set in as a center, and that's what he's going to be, which, oh, I mean, that's fine. You know, he didn't seem like a fish out of water at all last season. So, like, that's great. But,
But don't forget Josh Norris, Joe.
Yeah, all apologies to Josh Norris. I keep forgetting they've got him, but the caveat there, if he's healthy, yep. He's a really great player, and just got to stay healthy. He's got to, stop walking under ladders or stop crossing, having black cats cross his path and just find some good luck there. But and I remember asking Adams at the end of the season if how he felt about the center position. Does he feel like that's if that's an area that's got to address? And he ran down the list of the guys, Kulik, Norris, the whole litany of guys, McLeod, Krebs, everybody. He's like, I think we're pretty deep at center. He's like, I like our group. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's good, but do you have a number one? And, I think that's the fair question. Because once Tage moves off center and he's not playing center anymore, you don't have a number one anymore.
I feel like if a guy who's sort of mid says he wants to be a number one center, he wants to go to a bad team. It's probably what he's looking at. He's
right.
Probably not looking at Edmonton or maybe, Toronto, for
maybe
instance.
Maybe he would have loved it here, Rossi.
Maybe he would have been perfect. Maybe it'll still happen.
Yeah.
Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report. Joe, thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. 803-0550 on the Paterka trade if you want to get in. We're at Harbor Center for the 11-day power play. Blue by two with a smidge under 25 minutes to go in this shift, 22-20. Been some good talent on display. There is in almost every shift.
Yes.
Or maybe it is not even almost. This goalie, I love him. I almost said it. This number 11. They're all number 11. But there's one guy in white with like Amherst color pants.
Yeah.
Red and blue that are, he's catching my eye, Bulldog. I'm going to have to start writing stuff down. Although scouting this would be tough. You'd have to go by helmets.
Yes, and very few of the guys have distinctive enough helmets, aside from the founder of the operation here, Mike Lesikowski, who we talked about last time we visited. I think the old school Jofa helmet that he still wears.
Looking forward to that at 6. Sneaky Joe, all your favorites.
Yeah,
Owen.
I'm distracted watching my dopey kid stretch over here at the end of the.
We can change seats because I can't see it, if that helps you. Lines open. We'll be back after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
When that deal was finally announced, confirmed last night, smiles on the faces of general managers with interest in Bo Byram. Because all along, Bo Byram was the more likely of those two guys to get traded. But the response from Adams was, if I'm trading Bo Byram, I need a right shot defenseman coming back the other way as part of the package. Well, he gets the right shot defenseman in Kesselring. So now all of these general managers who have interest in Byram but didn't want to have to give up one of their own right shot D are kind of trying to look at things creatively. Okay, well, maybe we're back in on this with Bo Byram. And so the list of teams that would have interest in Bo Byram, it's pretty extensive. It's 6, 7, 8 teams deep. Legitimate players for Bo Byram at this stage.
3D chess.
You better nail it.
3D chess.
You're going to have to nail it.
You don't have a right shot, defenseman. I'll go get another one over here. And so I can do something different with you. Darren Dreger on Sabres Live today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at Harbor Center. I almost literally did wear shorts here. I mean, it's summer.
Good call not doing that.
It was.
Yeah. All right, I'm out of shape on this. I've not, the kids stopped playing 4 years ago now. I've not been putting in the time. And so, I know from previous years being here for this event, which of course we are always happy to do and honored to be a part of the little small part of it, doing our show here, even though I'm wearing pants and have a long sleeve quarter zip on, I'm feeling the chill.
Yes, my wife was here to volunteer earlier in the week, and she got home and it was one of those days where it was like 88 degrees.
Yeah,
and she got home and made the point about how cold it was in here, and how good thing I wore 4 shirts, 2 jackets, and 3 blankets. And I'm like, but that's what you always wear. I mean, that doesn't tell me that much about how I should dress for Thursday.
Right.
But I guess. Here at Harbor Center, Rink 1, the 11-day power play, the WGR team will be on the ice at 6. We're excited to see those guys, including Sneaky Joe and Bulldog son Owen in net. lot of names, you know. Our boss, Alan, will be out there, and some others we look forward to seeing. Got the – many of you are going to be familiar with this rink and this scene here. The big Sabres logo at center ice. The – where's he going with this? The Red Wings are asking their fans to pick between two designs for center ice for this year.
Okay.
It's kind of cool what I've seen so far. It's the 100th year of the original six teams.
Yep.
And the Wings are – it's online. One or the other. One is just, you know, winged wheel, red and white. The other one has Hockey Town written across the middle. One thing I liked – of course I'm going to – like, you like what you started with as a sports fan. 1983, I mentioned that – watching that a little bit of that Sabres-Canadian series last night. What did the Canadian center ice look like?
Tiny little logos on either side. Like the big circle, obviously with the dot in the middle, but very small Montreal Canadiens logos. The logo they wear on the sweater.
Right.
And the logos on the ice are, I'm going to comically say, barely bigger than the logo on the crest of the jersey.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they had two. Yep. The Sabres did that for a while,
Sabres
too.
Had that. Boston had that. A lot of teams. At least I'm pretty sure I remember that in Boston. I think the big singular logo, I'm not going to say a pretty recent development, but it definitely changed during our lifetimes watching hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they maybe just didn't have the capability to make a piece of artwork that big that they could put on the ice. I don't know. Why it changed, but, you know.
Well, always within all that growth or just how it evolved is how it became a TV show, right? I mean, that's when the Canadians put those logos and the Sabres and the Bruins and those teams did that in the 70s, say, they were never probably thinking at all about cameras.
Marketing, really, barely. I mean, it was,
And then, you know, maybe it was decided, somebody in marketing decided it was better to have it just, why not make the whole ice out of the Sabres logo, really? Right. Why not just, there's probably rule against that, or else you would do it.
Can you remember how small the Bills logo was at Rich Stadium when they first, I think it was
a helmet.
Compared to now, tiny.
It was, they had, at least for a while, some of those years, they had the helmet at midfield, like the white helmet where the logo wasn't big on the helmet. And, you know, that evolved, too.
Right.
Well, get in there and vote.
We live in a logo world now. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw the 100th anniversary, like you're saying, right? The Bruins. And, I mean, I know I can look at that logo and see the subtle differences. And I don't know, maybe someone who's in graphic design would tell you they're not that subtle. But, like, oh, here's our new look.
It looks almost the same.
What are we talking about? Oh, I see. The tips of the B on the outside, like the left side of the B, now line up with the spoke. Thanks. That's it? I looked at it 10 times going, I needed to see them side by side to go, oh, I see the little subtle difference there.
Doesn't seem like you should be able to get away with, here's our new uniform.
Right.
There's going to be some tiny change.
Redesign.
Let that be a fan contest. Try to find it.
Right.
First person who can find the difference in these two logos.
Right.
Make it like that bar game. Well, could be some cool stuff coming from all those original six teams this year. Paterka to Utah. Frank, the story is Utah. Paterka going to Utah for Michael Kesselring and Josh Doan. Like we started today, I'm choosing not to hate it because I guess this is always true. Did I say this about Kozlov when the Sabres got him for Dominik Hasek? Like there are things you can point to to be excited about. And, you know, you've said a lot today, you need something else. This is always how we are with them. And sometimes the Bills too, like you need a complimentary move to replenish their offense here.
Right. I've got a wheelbarrow full of disclaimers. But I don't even have to choose to like the players that they got. I think the players they got back fit very specific roles that this team has needed. They did not get equal. I don't think there's any really arguing. that they failed to get equal value for Paterka. That's almost universally how it's being talked about and written about, grading the trade, like Joe Yurden talked about last segment and whatever. And like, I get all that. But the Sabres, Kevin Adams, have to try to put a team together that they – it's not an all-star – it's not a stats competition. They needed a partner for power, and Kesselring, I think, is a very credible and good idea to be that partner. A more physical player, not as much offensive upside as you have with a guy like Byram, say, but much more dependable defensively, physical enough, willing to fight if you need it. Like, you know, we have a shortage of that kind of player on this roster all around. So that fits a very specific need, and I think Doan also fills a need in that they are just not overloaded with young, dependable two-way players, 200-foot forwards that are all, you know, good size, reasonably dependable everywhere you put them, and he does have a trait that is above like replacement level. He's got a very good shot. Owen played against him in 2019 at USA Hockey's under-17 national camp.
All right,
and remembers the shot. You know, he was one of the best guys there. It was a real, he ended up being the 37th pick in the draft. So, you know, that speaks for itself, I think. The shot is very good. It's not, you know, it's not Tage Thompson, Kulik elite level, but very good. So at least, you know, there's a potential there with opportunity to maybe produce a little more than your average mucker, grinder, forechecker type player.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But even if that doesn't produce 15 to 20 goals, I think that role is an important role to have on your team, in a young player, a cost-controlled player, you know, not going out. Jeremy was talking last week, I think, on their show, and he tweeted how what the Sabres had to spend to get Malenstein and Lafferty and Aubé Kubel and whoever – no, it was Krebs because Aubé Kubel eventually wasn't there. But they're spending like $9 million on their fourth line. Florida's fourth line was all like $8.75.
Right.
All, vet, you know, minimum salary guys and very productive and good. Like, you add together what the Sabres aren't spending to the cap with what they are spending to have – what a lot of good teams treat as like bargain type roster spots, and it's tough. So hopefully Doan can, at least for the time being, be someone who at a cheaper price gives you good minutes down there. So I like the pieces, but again, the big caveat is you gotta do something else with Byram, presumably, to replace what you gave up in Paterka.
I am ready to hear about it. I'm ready for the breaking news alerts here on Match Trade. Back to Harbor Center after this break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. All of you who have responded to me about the 83 Sabres Canadians playoff watch. One guy just wrote about how the commercials are even better because they're like for beer and dandruff shampoo. And they're not like, as I always... often will say these I don't want to put anybody down, like somebody needs that medicine,
right
but these drug ads with the production quality of a Marvel movie, like how much money, and they're on constantly, right. How much money, you know, the first ad, one of the first ads at least in that game last night, oh, I think it was for like being active. You know how like maybe more often in Canada there would be commercials for just like
there
working
were
out.
Like PSAs, yeah. Kind of thing, right? Like take care of yourself.
A woman in this particular ad, very provocative. You would never see this anymore.
Oh dear.
You would never, I mean, just the sexual, you know,
innuendo is what you want.
Suggestiveness. is not subtle. In the first, there's another advertisement for game one of the 1983 Adams Division semifinals.
On the CBC.
The CBC broadcast on YouTube. There are only a few seconds left in this current shift here at the 11-day power play. The GR guys are next. Hat on a hat. One guy on this white team was dangling all day.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out here, you know from experience, can you be a little bit physical in this event?
No.
You have to let them do it.
No, you should not be. I, being wired in the damaged way that I am wired, when we played in the community shift back in 2018, I guess it was, a couple of our guys, Ryan Gates and Sneaky Joe, I don't think, were in full gear. Ryan definitely wasn't, but I seem to remember Joe also did not have all the gear on. And somebody on the team we were playing was messing with Gates. And at that
That's
time,
fun to do.
He was our producer, and I, you know, again, I'm damaged. I felt the need to, like, step in. You know, it didn't get – I don't think if you were watching, you had to have been really watching me and this other guy intently to notice that there was a thing. But we there were four or five whacks at the shin pads each. And then, you know, we just decided we're playing in a – charity hockey game. Let's calm down. But I basically wanted him to leave Gates alone. You know, he have elbow pads on or something. Whatever. He was vulnerable. I felt like, so like get not being so hard on my dude.
Yeah. Well, too bad we don't have Ryan anymore.
No.
He's not on this thing tonight. Is he media all-stars either though? He's not. What is Ryan?
I don't know. I don't think
he's
so.
Media adjacent.
He came when he came up. We mentioned him last week at one point, and he texted me right away.
Yeah.
Because I even said, like, I hope he's doing okay. He was like, I'm doing great. So I don't think he's involved in this, though. I think he would have told us that. I didn't see his name on a roster.
No, I didn't either. But yeah. Owen, Joe, Allen, Derek, Brayton, Tim Wenger's son.
Yep.
Brendan?
Yep.
Who am I forgetting?
Nice little player. Hang on. I think I've got a list here. I should pull that.
Josh, up. Trevis, TJ.
All right. Trevis. All right. I didn't know he was a hockey player. Good.
Well, I don't know if he is, but he's playing.
Well, okay.
I don't think you have to be a hockey
player.
He's
going to give it a go. By the time I played in this thing, I certainly was not any longer a hockey player.
Yeah, very cool. Tomorrow, Sam. I mean, he's not going to have... I think he knows a lot, but
well,
NHL draft takes.
He did text me. There's a lineup from the Sabres from early in the 21 season sort of making the rounds, right? Eichel, Reinhardt, Thompson, the team, Skinner. He sent me a screen grab of it and asked, like, is this accurate? Like, did this team existed? And I'm like, yeah, Eichel only played 21 games, and his neck got, you know, he had a neck injury, and Thompson was not Thompson yet, but yeah, you know, that was their team.
What was his point? Like, that? These guys really played together in Buffalo and still lost?
And were lousy, yeah, right, something like that, yeah. So he's
who's
aware,
in goal?
He's aware. Geez,
when are we, how far back are we going here? Allmark?
I don't remember now.
Put him on that list. You only won a Vezina trophy.
Yeah, Allmark and UPL are the goalies listed here.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Dahlin and
to his point.
Dahlin, Montour, Power, McCabe, Ristolainen, and Samuelson.
Oh,
are the
now
6D
we know.
Listed.
Now we know.
Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt, Cousins, Thompson, Paterka, Taylor Hall, by the way, Mittelstadt, Jack Quinn, Olofsson, Gergensen, Zoposo. God, that's early for Quinn, isn't it? And that's so quick, but that's part of the problem.
I guess.
Probably, I guess, right? So
we will be hanging out here for a little bit, but for you, I'll chat with Greg Wyshynski coming up from ESPN on Paterka and that move, the Sabres' chances this year, the finals, 84 games. There were 84 games in a season before in the NHL, 93, 94, a couple of years they played 84. Sounds like maybe we're headed there. Greg will be telling you here coming up. From Harbor Center, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.